Faithfulness is faithfulness. He's faithful to us every day of every week. There. This time before Pastor comes, we got some young people that's going to come and sing, "Come Ye Thankful People." 526, if you'd like to follow along, you pray for them as they come and sing. Appreciate that. We enjoyed that at the Green Acres and Extended Care services too. Appreciate the young people and the young preachers too. Amen. That was good today. Amen. Well, before we get started, give you a chance. Any of you men, young men, have a word of testimony or a scripture verse you'd like to share with us tonight? I'd like to give you a chance. Brother Steve. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to continue in prayer for our land. Amen. Amen. Any others? Share some verses that the Lord has blessed your heart with or testimony. Put it in.
But I'm really thankful. You know, so I was really challenged by that. You know, and it just brought to mind Psalm 62:5, my soul wait not only upon God, but my expectation is from Him. And so often, things don't go well because of our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we expect things to go a certain way, they don't. And we just need to, as we brought out, give thanks always and all things.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate those verses. I appreciate that message too. And that message had much more impact coming from a young person than an older one, because a lot of times young people complain about, well, they're tempted to complain about the food. Not that older people can't complain, but amen. Well, I know how sweet pineapple is. Go ahead, Brother Jerry. Amen. 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 We do need to stay in the Word, be led, because we can be misled by the world, that's for sure. Pray for him as they work through all the things after his mom's death. So pray for him, for wisdom. Any others? Me and you, man, Brother Bob?
Anyone in the family that is saved, except just one cousin that I've known for years. But otherwise, you know, they're lost and have to be lost. And a neighbor told Sandy talked to her about the Lord, very hard to talk to. And she said that she had went forward in a church meeting once to be saved, but she said that later on I thought about what I was doing to kind of that. And then young fellow had been praying for a man, Falconer. His dad called me today. He died yesterday morning. And he was a Christian.
Amen.
And his dad's a Christian,
Amen.
Probably with him that Dan has had this problem for several years. It just continually got worse. He suffered terrible. But that suffering he went through on this earth in eternity will not mock anything.
Amen.
I mean, it's just less than a smidge of a drop in a bucket.
Amen.
Compared to eternity, and when he agreed to that, if he agreed with that. But it's just for people that's lost, I mean, they don't even know it.
They don't.
They're happy.
Yeah.
In your lost state.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to figure out.
It is.
You don't have Christ in your life, you don't have anything.
That's right.
I told my next door neighbor, he's real bad off. And I saw him praying yesterday, and he says he's a Christian. He said, what you need to do on others is you have others do on you. That's what you need to do. And I said, that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Right.
The only way you're going to get to heaven, all that stuff you've done for somebody else, going to mock anything.
Right.
Jesus Christ, blood is all the only thing that's going to get you into heaven. He said,
amen.
Well, it has to be more to it than that.
Amen. Well, I know sometimes it seems like we're not getting through to them, but praise the Lord, you got to sow some seed. He'll remember that statement about the blood. And I remember my grandpa Rector witnessed to a co-worker, and my grandpa Rector went to be with the Lord, and that co-worker finally got saved. And so I know it's sometimes it's so frustrating trying to reach them, but I just pray that we'll bring forth fruit someday. Amen. Amen. Any others, man, young man? Any chance? Okay, let's pray then. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. And Lord, we thank you for these who have been witnessed to. And Lord, please use your word, Lord, now to work in their hearts. May the Holy Spirit use that just to echo over and over in their hearts about the blood of Jesus Christ. We think of the difficulties of that others are facing. We pray for the Bond family in this time of sorrow and trying to settle all these different matters, and I pray that you would just give them peace of heart and wisdom. And Lord, please work in the hearts of these people they're having to deal with as well. And Lord, we do pray for our land, that we would humble ourselves and turn back to you. And Lord, help us to truly be thankful, a thankful people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. The world searches for the fountain of youth. Some very famous people have their bodies frozen after they die, thinking that somehow, if they can just preserve their remains, that somehow, someday, man will discover a way to bring life back to the body, and so they have their bodies frozen, searching somehow for the fountain of youth or the fountain of life. But the Bible says in Psalm 36 and verse 9, "For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light." So with thee is the fountain of life. When it comes to long life, what can help us? I mean, what can really help extend our lives? Well, let's look at a few things tonight. Some of these you'll be well, very familiar with, but Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I appreciate the young men there preaching at the Extended Care, Green Acres. The only thing I wish is that they would reverse the order of where we have to go, because the acoustics at Green Acres are just wonderful when you sing. And then you go to the Extended Care unit and you have these high flat ceilings with these big cement beams jutting down, and it kind of swallows up our voices. But, I mean, you sang great today, but it's just at Green Acres it just echoes, you know, so. But I appreciate you young men there doing the preaching today. That was great. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise. Okay, what is the promise? God tells us, verse 3, that it may be what? Well with thee, and that thou mayest what? Live long on the earth. Who wants to live a miserable life? I don't know of anyone that wants to live a miserable life. And yet the Bible tells us if we don't honor our parents, our lives will not go well. And so we need to make sure we honor our parents. So young people, when you're considering a future possibility for a mate, make sure that one honors his or her parents. Because if you are married to someone who is miserable, guess what? You are one with them. So if you are one with someone who is miserable, guess what? You're going to be miserable too. So you don't want that. I mean, this is just a simple, basic thing. And yet, how many young people sass their parents and do much worse than that to their parents? Some young people steal from their parents. Some young people do all kinds of bad things, dishonoring their parents. So here's a very simple thing. Twofold promise. Verse 3, our lives will go well and we'll be able to live a long life. Verse 3. A good example of that, the oldest man who ever lived is Methuselah. Notice in Genesis 5. And I want to notice the relationship between Methuselah and his dad. And notice how his dad was. You know, as parents, we are not held accountable directly for the sins of our children. And of course, but our example is so important. Abraham lied. Well, guess what Isaac did? He lied about his wife too. So we set an example that we have to be so careful of. But in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch, what? Walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. So 969. In the margin of my Bible, I've just put out there the ages of all these people. Verse 5, Adam lived to be 930. Verse 8, Seth lived to be 912. Verse 11, Enos lived to be 905. Cainan in verse 14 lived to be 910. Mahalalel in verse 17 lived to be 895. Verse 20 is the closest one to Methuselah. That's Jared. He lived to be 962. Now, we'll talk about Enoch in verse 23 there. He only lived to be 365, only about a third of the age, and we'll talk about why. But then verse 27, Methuselah lived to be 969. And then in verse 31, Lamech dies the same year the flood comes at 777. Talk about perfection, 777. That was Lamech. But if you could hold your place here for just a moment, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. I want to make it clear that, you know, where does the buck stop? I mean, are we held accountable for the sins of our children? And as children, are we held accountable for the sins of our parents? Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall what? Not bear the iniquity of who? The father. Neither shall who? The father bear the iniquity of who? The son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So God has laid it down here. And the reason I bring this out is because, I don't know if it was Michigan, it seems like it was, but anyway, somewhere in our country, they come up with this idea. Well, the way to stop children from doing wrong is hold their parents accountable. So if the children commit a certain crime, the parents could go to jail. That is not biblical. If the child commits a certain crime, the child is held accountable for his or her crime. The Bible does not condone putting parents to death for the crimes of children, nor putting children to death for the crimes of their parents. The Bible does not condone that. So let's go back to Genesis 5 here. So Enoch lives to be 65, begets Methuselah. And notice in verse 24, Genesis 5, 24, and Enoch walked with God. So although we may not be held accountable if our children commit a crime, but we have to ask ourselves, what about our example? If they would commit a crime, that would there be anything in our lives that would have contributed to them doing such a thing? We have to be so careful, as I mentioned, about Abraham. Abraham lied and said that Sarah was his sister. Well, Sarah was his half-sister. But more importantly, Sarah was his wife. So in that regard, he wasn't telling the whole truth. And when we don't tell the whole truth, gives the wrong impression. That's a lie. And of course, then Isaac went ahead and did it about Rebekah, and Rebekah was not his half-sister. So Isaac followed his dad's example there. But Enoch was a godly example to his son. It said he walked with God. Now, I assume because of the promise of God that if we honor our parents, our lives will be long. I assume that Methuselah greatly honored his parents, or God wouldn't have given him the longest recorded life. But look at his dad. His dad was a godly man. He walked with God. He wasn't a hypocrite. You know, he didn't, on Sunday, he didn't pretend to be one way, and the rest of the week, you know, swear at his kids. No, he was a godly man. He walked with God. He walked with him. And notice also with me, Jude. The book of Jude also mentions Enoch. Gives us a clue into what he was like. The book of Jude and verse 14. Jude 14. You can stay in chapter 1. Amen? Amen? Are you awake? Okay. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord, what? Cometh. Enoch was prophesying, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are what? Ungodly among them of all their what? Ungodly deeds, which they have what? Ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which what? Ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You know what I think Enoch was? The first hellfire and brimstone preacher. I mean, he's up there saying, listen, you ungodly people doing these ungodly things. I mean, I could just picture Enoch. He was prophesying, the Lord's going to come back. He's going to execute judgment on the ungodly. And I mean, look at how many times it's mentioned. Verse 15, once, twice, three times, four times. He uses the word ungodly. I mean, he was clear. So we know he walked with God. We know he was preaching about the Lord is coming. We know he preached you better get ready because he's going to execute judgment. We know he preached repentance because he kept bringing this out. These things are ungodly. You shouldn't be doing these things. Now, that's the type of dad that Methuselah had. And Methuselah didn't sit back and say, oh, that old dad of mine, he's crazy, talking about the Lord coming back. He's alienating all of our friends from us by all this hard preaching, you know, telling everybody they're ungodly if they're doing these things. Well, calm down, Dad, calm down. No, Methuselah wasn't like that. He honored his dad. And this is not the only New Testament passage that refers to him. Notice in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11. I mean, Enoch was the real thing. It wasn't just a Sunday morning Christianity to him. It was His whole life, he walked and talked it. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. It says, by faith who? Enoch was what? Translated. That he should not see what? Death. When something is translated, it's changed from one form to another. If you translate something, it doesn't mean you're throwing it away. That's trashing something. We're talking about translating something. When you translate a word from one language to another, you're changing the form of that word. It's still that word, but you're changing it from one form to another. Enoch was translated. It said, verse 5, that he should not see death. And it says, and was what? Not found. They couldn't find him. You know, when the rapture happens, you know what's going to be true? No one is going to be able to find us. Our bodies are not going to be here. We're going to be translated. We're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds and the air, and we're going to ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. They're going to search, and we're not going to be there. They're going to go to our homes. There's not going to be a body. They're going to go out to the car. There's not going to be our bodies there. They're going to come to the church, and none of our bodies are going to be here. With Enoch, he was not found. Where did he go? The body is not here. And so Enoch was prophesying, saying, the Lord is going to return. He's coming back. He created this earth, and he's coming. He's coming to execute judgment. You better get ready because he's coming. And the ungodly are not prepared. And one day, suddenly, he's gone. He was translated that he should not see death. And God used him as an example, as a picture, as a type of the rapture. The Lord is coming back. Get ready. The Lord is coming back. Get ready. The Lord is coming back. Repent of your sin. And suddenly he's gone. Just to emphasize the fact, the Lord's coming is going to be quick and unexpected. And he's suddenly gone. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this, what? Testimony. What was his testimony? That he what? Pleased God. That's what Methuselah saw. He saw a man that walked with God. He saw a man that pleased God. He saw a man who by faith preached, the Lord is coming. He saw a man who was not afraid to preach. You need to repent. You need to turn from your sin to him because he's coming to execute judgment. And suddenly, dad is gone. Boy, that had an impact upon Methuselah. And as I said, he's the oldest recorded person who ever lived. So, oh, that we would be like Enoch. That our children could see that we walk with God. It's not just a Sunday thing, or not just a Wednesday thing, but it's an everyday thing. And may it have such an impact upon them that if we were suddenly gone, they would not turn away from the Lord, but that they would say, yes, his faith or her faith was real. And that is reality, like we talked about this morning. And I, too, need to serve God all of my days. Oh, that we would so live, that our children would so live for God as well. So what a tremendous testimony. So that's one thing. Long life is honoring our parents, obeying and honoring our parents. Another thing we could look at, Proverbs 3. A second thing about long life is remembering and keeping God's law. Remembering and keeping God's law. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For what? Length of days and what? Long life and peace shall they what? Add to thee. What will add long life and peace, length of days to us? Verse 1. If we keep God's commandments, if we don't forget his law. You know, I think one of the sad things about the multitude of Bible translations is that what use is there of memorizing the Bible anymore? And I'm thinking about what professing Christians must think. I mean, if the preacher stands up and refers to 7 different Bible translations in his message, why memorize? What's the use? I mean, they used to kind of have quizzes for young people, and they had to say verses word perfect. Could there be such a thing anymore? How could you say a verse word perfect anymore? Who's to say which verse is word perfect? I mean, remember, I'm talking about their thinking. Which verse is word perfect? I mean, can you imagine that? Having a quiz and someone stands up, quotes a verse out of the NIV, someone about a New King James, someone the Today's English Translation, or Good News for Modern Man, or New American Standard, or New King James. I mean, it's confusion. You know, sometimes we fall for these plain out outright lies. You know, Christians kind of get a smug attitude, and it's like, you know, well, what does your Bible translation say? You know, it's almost a smug attitude about everyone's book says something different. How are you supposed to learn that way? I can't imagine. You know, if you go into a classroom, whether it's elementary school or middle school or senior high school or college or graduate school, one thing they make you do, everyone has to have the same textbook. And you have to have the same edition. Why are they smarter than Christians? How can we learn if we're all reading out of something different? We truly are not then on the same page. We're not. Indeed. So we need to remember God's law. We need to have his pure word with us. So remembering and keeping God's law, that is a daily exercise we need. We need that. Now, there's nothing wrong with exercise. That's what I had a million things to do on Friday. But I said to my wife, I says, I got so many things to do, I'm tempted not to go to the gym tonight. But I said, I need the exercise, so I better just go. I need it. So we need physical exercise. But the point is that even though we get physical exercise, it's no guarantee we're going to live long. Because as the young man out on 131 Friday morning, Comstock Park, somebody else hit a deer. And he come along and hit the dead carcass of the deer, loses control, goes down the bank, hits a tree, and dies. And, you know, I had my computer on early in the morning, and I was caught some news, and it was already saying on there, you know, a man has died in the Comstock Park area, hit a deer. Well, I have 2 sons that go right through that area early in the morning, and I happened to read that this young man, I think it was like 4 a.m. maybe when he went through, so it was a little earlier. But we don't know. We can be in perfect health and get in a car accident and die. So, you know, exercise is good, and we need it, but it's still no guarantee of a long life. We could die in an accident. We could die in a robbery. I think I told you about this, but I was passed along some news from some organization, and it actually showed on the computer it was a bank robbery taking place, and this guy walks in. He's kind of a broad-shouldered guy, but he walks in, and you know, he's caught on the bank camera. Somebody is at the teller desk with something over his face and has a gun, and this guy walks in kind of on an angle and sees what's happening. And he goes right up behind the guy, puts his arm right around the guy's neck, and that's the end of that robbery, you know. So, but we could die in a robbery. We could be in perfect health, but we could die in a robbery taking place. We could die in a plane crash. We could die in war. We can die in a terrorist plot. So what we need to make sure is every day we make sure we get exercise in God's word too. Notice in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4 reminds us of this truth we've been talking about. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto" what? "All things, having" what? "Promise" of what? "The life that now is and of that which is to come." So, godliness. That's an exercise we need to do every day. I want to get to go to the gym once a week, but godliness should be every day. And one last thing in Proverbs 3, finding wisdom and understanding is also a promise then for long life. Proverbs chapter 3. "The world searches for the fountain of youth, the fountain of life," whatever they want to call it. The Bible tells us what will bring about long life. Proverbs 3, verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth" what? "Wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." What does it say in verse 16, the first three words? "Length of days is in her" what? "In wisdom and understanding." Verse 16, "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her." And then notice in chapter 4, verse 5, "Get" what? "Wisdom." Get what? "Understanding." The same things we just read in chapter 3. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall" what? "Be many." There it is again. So, just a few thoughts tonight. Long life. The world searches for it. All kinds of things. But the Bible says obeying our parents, honoring them, will bring long life. Number two, remembering and keeping God's law will bring long life. And then number three, you're finding wisdom and understanding. And as Brother Jerry testified just a few moments ago, and as let's look in chapter 9, verse 10. Where do we get wisdom and understanding? From the Bible. Proverbs 9, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of" what? "Wisdom. And the knowledge of" what? "The holy is understanding." Brother Steve just led us in the song. It was holy, 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 wasn't it, Brother Steve? Okay. And so he asked the people at the extended care unit to turn to that song. And one of them said, "We don't have that one anymore. They took it out." And my mind just got rolling then. They took it out. They took the song out about holiness. And I thought, isn't that the way it is? They don't want to sing about holiness anymore. It's an old-fashioned thing. It's a thing they don't want to talk about is holiness. So, well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So wisdom and then understanding that wisdom. If we understand why God said certain things, we're more likely to obey them if we know why. So may the Lord help us, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us. So the world has so many ideas about how to live longer lives, and yet you tell us in your word how to live a long life, how to live a life that will go well. And Lord, help us to obey that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's turn, please, to 200.